It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We continue our study in the book of Romans today by picking up where we left off the last time. Now, this is a great time to be studying the Word of God. This is the greatest time of our lives that we can look together and pick up the Scriptures and study the Word of God together. And once again, I use the King James Bible, and I pray that that's what you're using. And we need to study the Word of God together. And I would encourage you to have your Bible open as we study the Scriptures. Well, now, Paul's concluded chapter 10 with a quotation. That's chapter 10 of Romans now, with a quotation from Isaiah 65, verses 1 and 2. He described the nation of Israel as a disobedient and contrary people. He says they are rebellious. And then Paul begins chapter 11 by giving several examples to show that despite this rebellion of the people of God, God has not totally rejected the people of Israel. And as we look into this, we see in the first part of verse 1 that Paul says, "I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid." Well, Paul is actually making a statement here rather than asking a question. That God has not cast away his people, and Paul identifies himself as an Israelite by pointing to his lineage. He was from the seed of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, the rest of verse 1 of chapter 11 says this. It says, "For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." This is Paul. Well, and we see in verses 2 through 6, Paul says there is still a remnant of Israel, just as in the day of Elijah. And it is by God's grace that they are a remnant. Well, verses 11, or chapter 11, verses 2 through 6 says this of Romans, "God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias," or in other words, Elijah, "how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed the prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time." Now Paul is speaking now. He's saying also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And verse 6 goes on to say, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Well, now in these verses, Paul gives the application of Elijah's experience to the doctrine of Israel's remnant of believers during the age of the church. And we read that in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 8 through 19. And true Israel continues even while Jewish and Gentile Christians serve together in the church. True Israel are those people who trusted Jesus. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, he was saved because he believed God. Well, how do you believe God? It's about trusting Jesus. You say, well, how did Abraham trust Jesus? See, he foresaw his coming, and he took back, he looked forward, and we look back to the coming of Jesus. He came. We know that by studying his word, that he came into this world. Well, Abraham looked forward to Jesus' coming. We look back, and we trust Jesus by faith, just like Abraham did, and just like true Israel does today. Everyone is saved the same way, and that is by trusting God to receive his Son as Savior. Well, now many have been blinded according to the next section of our scripture here in verses 7 through 10. And it talks about an elect. In verse 7 it says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." and elect saved by grace. These were the Israelites saved by grace, and this elect. They've been saved. The rest were blinded, unwilling to see. God does not force anyone to be blind. God has given all of us the sight. And we've studied that up to this point, how that people are without excuse who say that God has blinded them purposely. Well, God does not blind people. He allows them to choose the way they want to go. God does not force anyone to receive His Son as Savior. God does not force anyone to see things the way He sees them. And of course, He sees the right way. He does not force any human being to be saved. And the person must choose whether or not they want Jesus as Savior. Well, as we look on now in Romans chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, it says, "According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day." Verse 9, "And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap, and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them." Verse 10, "Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway." Well, keep in mind that God is speaking to the nation of Israel, not to individual Israelites, not to individual Jews. Remember, we're all saved the same way. And Paul is trying to get across the fact that everyone can be saved, even the individual Jew who will receive Jesus. As we look at these verses 8 through 10, we see Israel's unwillingness to submit to God, and this is foretold in Scripture. Remember, he's speaking to the nation here. Well, you can read that in Isaiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 13, and Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 3 and 4. See, God wants everyone to be saved, but remember, he's speaking to the nation here. God speaks to the nation, and he also speaks to the individual Jew. He says you can be saved the same way everybody else is saved, the same way that Father Abraham was saved, and that was by believing God. Well, looking on now, we see that the stubbornness of Israel benefits the Gentiles. May I say that, you know, the Bible tells us that Israel was a stiff-necked people. Well, we're a stiff-necked people, the Gentiles, anyone who's not a Jew, we're stiff-necked as well. How long did we go and how long did I go before I believed the gospel, before I received Jesus as Savior? We're not so high and mighty that we can say that we have not been stiff-necked as the Jews were before they trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And before the nation will come back to Him, will come to Jesus Christ, and will come to the Messiah. We'll read about and study about that later on. Well, let me say what I've already said now. The stubbornness of Israel benefits the Gentiles. And this is seen in Romans chapter 11, verses 11 through 32. And Paul seems to be saying in the first part of verse 1 that because of Israel's stubbornness, have they stumbled to a point of no return to God. Well, listen to what the verse says. Well, the first part of verse 11 says this, "I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall?" Well, in the rest of that verse, Paul answers the question. He says, no, because of Israel's failure to trust God, the Gentiles can be saved. He keeps reemphasizing this. And as a result of the salvation of the Gentiles, Israel can be saved. They can be provoked. In other words, he's trying to provoke them to envy. He's trying to bring them to their senses. He goes on to say, this is the way the Jewish person needs to approach God. In other words, I want what God has given to everyone else, and that is Jesus Christ. Well, now the rest of that verse says this, "God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy." God wants to use every means possible to help the Israelites people to understand that they need Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, now we look on and we see if Israel's failure is of great value to all humans and that Israel may become less important, then this of great value, this is of great value to the Gentiles. But how much greater value will be the result of the Israelites obeying God? In verse 12 of chapter 11, it says, "Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?" Well, how much greater it will be for them, realizing that God wants them. The nation is still His chosen people, but God wants individual Jewish people to be saved now. In verses 13 through 16, we see this in verse 13. It says, "For I speak to the Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Well, Paul says, "I'm speaking to you Gentiles with authority because I am an apostle." Well, he goes on to say, "My office of an apostle to you Gentiles is important not only to you, but that I might also be able to cause my people to do as you have done, and that is to be obedient to God, to receive what you have received, and that is salvation." Well, in verse 14 it says, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." Paul says, "If the result of my people being set aside means that the world can be placed in right relationship with God, how much greater would it be for my people who were set aside to be reconciled, placed in right relationship with God? It would be like the dead brought back to life." Well, notice verse 15. It says, "For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" It's like bringing back a dead person back to life, in other words. In verse 16 it says, "For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." Well, the first fruit and the root refer to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob here. You can compare Romans chapter 11, verse 28 with Romans chapter 9, and verse 5. And it talks about the fathers. The fathers, the patriarchs, were only, they were only men, but they were holy because they were chosen by God. In other words, once again, God does not force anyone to be saved, but they obeyed God. And the patriarchs were separated and chosen by God for a unique purpose. It's like today, God allows people to have different gifts within the local church, within His body. And Jesus Christ, within His body, we see that He's given some preachers, evangelists, pastors, and so forth. And we might say Sunday school teachers, bus workers, and so forth. And that's the way it was in the Old Testament. Now, they didn't have buses back then, but that's the way it was in the Old Testament. He gave people positions that they could carry out His work. He chose these people. He chooses people today. He gave them and He gives certain responsibilities. And we see that. Out of this responsibility and out of these patriarchs, out of them would come God's special and holy nation, and that is Israel. Notice now, there are warnings against Gentile conceit here. Verses 17 through 24 talks about this. And we'll pick up here next time with verses 17 through 24 of chapter 11. And I would say to you that you need to be serving Him today. You need to be telling others about Jesus Christ. That is, if you know Him as your Savior, you need to be going and telling. And if you're not saved, you need to ask Jesus into your heart, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," according to Romans chapter 10 and verse 13.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.